Okay, we'll go ahead and start the planning commission hearing. Cheryl, call the roll, please.
Chairman Beck.
Here.
Commissioner Brooks.
Present.
Day. Barbie.
Here.
Ballinger.
Here.
Reese.
Present.
Brooks.
Okay, commission would like everybody to please turn your cell phones off, as the commission will do too. Did you get that, Commissioner Brooks? Cheryl, do we have any minutes?
Mr. Chairman, we have the minutes of May 28, 2010.
Okay.
Move for approval.
Second.
Discussion? Let's vote. That motion passes unanimously with Day and Woods absent. For members of the audience, we have speaker slips outside, three colors, green, white, and pink. The white slip is a neutral slip, and the pink slips are opposed to, generally, you're referring to the staff position. If you come to the podium, you need to have filled out a speaker slip, and you can hand it to Cheryl. When you come to the podium, you have 3 minutes. When the yellow light comes on, you have 1 minute, and we'd ask you to please summarize at that point and return to your seat when the red light comes on. If members of the public want to appeal a decision by the commission, the process for doing that is on the last page of the agenda. And now we have an opportunity for public comment. Anybody who wants to address the commission on an item that is not on the agenda, now is the time to do it. Anybody? Yes? Okay.
My name is Cheryl Baracco, and I live at 8555 Skyrim Drive. I'm here to discuss the Winter Gardens Wireless Telecommunications Facility Major Use Permit P05006, which was approved by the commission. This major use permit had a condition that the applicant is responsible for maintenance and repair of any damage caused by them to on-site and off-site private roads that serve the project. This project was approved over neighborhood objections multiple times to this commission, and all of our fears are coming true, particularly with regard to the damage to the road. I've brought photographs here that have been laid out, and I will leave with the group so you can get a little bit better look than that if your eyes are not as any better than mine. Essentially, the primary concern is there's been damage to the road. There have been weeks of multiple trips by equipment, well in excess of the 6-ton limit that is most of the area we live in. Many of these are in excess of 35 tons. This was a substandard road, which was part of our objection to this project to begin with. So the asphalt was maybe 3-4 inches thick, and there's equipment. I mean, you can see some of them here, and you can see the cranes and the equipment, you know, hanging over the bank. And there's more photos if you need it. In particular, we don't have confidence that the Water District or Verizon will adequately address these concerns. I've taken it up with them. I've taken it to Adam Wilson, who in turn has provided some of that communication to the director of the Planning Commission. And, you know, primarily their response is that, well, your road's better than most roads in the area. And our position is it was a condition of the permit. It should be taken care of as agreed to upon the permit, that it was taken back to its original condition. It's our private property. So, in summary, I would like to request that the staff look into the situation and ensure that the major use permit is not signed off until road repair is completed to the satisfaction of residents, not just the Water District and Verizon.
Okay, we'll definitely follow up here. Let's see if this next speaker also is on the same topic. Brian Maghetto.
Hi, my name's Brian.
You need to switch. 90 degrees.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll...
There you go.
I got part of it.
The dirt was running down to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Is this the same project?
My name's Brian Maghetto, and I live at Skyrim Drive, 8618 Skyrim Drive. It is off of the same project. I wasn't told that Verizon was going to come and dig up my property. They've dug a 160-foot ditch, 4 feet deep, 7 to 4 feet wide. They dug into my bank, and they gave away all my dirt. And I was promised by the Water District and by Verizon that they would replace my bank the way it was supposed to look at. And you can see that they have a before and after picture. And the whole time I've told him I wanted to at least keep the dirt so I can at least get a retaining wall up. And because from, if you see the before picture, it's just a bank, and I wanted to put a little wall there so that way when we replace the street, it'll be nice and clean. And so we're very upset. We're not getting any cooperation from either.
So okay.
It's the same thing.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Brooks, and then I have a comment.
Staff.
Good morning, commissioners.
Thank you, sir. You may be seated.
Okay.
Thank you.
Since this is not an agenda item, there's no direct action that your planning commission can take other than to refer it to staff. It's my understanding staff is in the audience that can speak to these two property owners to talk about their issues and see if we can resolve what those issues are. We'll report back to the planning commission our findings.
My request is exactly. Thank you.
Okay. And when this comes back, will it come back as an agenda item? What's it going to come back as?
What we'll do is it's a form of a memo back to you, back to the Planning Commission.
Okay, I guess we'll leave it at that, and hopefully that will allow us to take care of it. Okay, any other members of the public?
Will we get a copy of that memo?
You're going to be very involved with developing that memo.
Somebody's going to tell you right now.
That's the whole idea. Yeah, we'll follow up. Are there any other items that members of the public would like to bring to the Planning Commission's attention? Okay, seeing none, do we have any potential continuance items?
We do have one item number 4. Staff requests that that item actually be pulled from the agenda. We'll re-advertise that for a future hearing date.
Okay.
I move that item number 4 be returned back to staff.
Second.
Please vote. Okay, that passes unanimously with Woods and Day absent. Any possible consent items?
Chairman Beck, we do have 2 potential consent items, item number 2 and item number 3.
Okay. Item number 2 has an errata sheet. So if there's a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve on consent items number 2 and 3, including the errata sheet and item number
2.
Yeah. I'll second.
Discussion. Please vote. Okay, that motion passes unanimously with Woods and Day absent. Mr. Marion Sully, if you're part of that Verizon issue, we hope you engage. Thank you. We will now go to... Okay, we will now go to item number 1, which also has an errata sheet, and we'll start with staff report.
Good morning, Chairman Beck, Commissioners. I'm Matt Schneider, project manager for item number 1, the proposed general plan amendment. On April 30th, 2010, staff presented a tiered winery zoning ordinance amendment and draft EIR to the Planning Commission and received a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors for approval. The Planning Commission's action included additional recommendations, including direction to staff to address a general plan inconsistency that was identified immediately prior to the hearing. The purpose of today's hearing is to consider a proposed general plan amendment and give the Board of Supervisors the ability to consider overriding considerations when considering the proposed project. Today's action should be limited to the proposed general plan amendment, as the Planning Commission has previously considered and taken action on the tiered winery zoning ordinance amendment and draft EIR. The proposed amendment to the County of San Diego General Plan regional land use element would exempt the tiered winery zoning ordinance amendment from provisions of the 18 multiple rural use and 24 impact sensitive land use designations relating to developments which may pose environmental impacts within these designations. Currently, the general plan does not allow any development other than a single-family home on an existing lot in the 18 multiple rural use and 24 impact-sensitive land use designations when significant environmental impacts have been identified. The tiered winery zoning ordinance amendment is inconsistent with this provision because the draft EIR prepared for the ordinance identifies significant and unavoidable environmental impacts. The proposed amendment would exempt the tiered winery zoning ordinance amendment from this provision of the general plan. The draft environmental impact report has been revised to incorporate the proposed revision to the regional land use element of the general plan. The Department of Planning and Land Use is requesting that the Planning Commission review and consider the draft environmental impact report and recommend to the Board of Supervisors adopt the resolution approving general plan amendment GPA 10-003. This concludes staff presentation. There's also an additional errata that was distributed, and staff is available to answer any questions.
Okay, do we have any questions from the commission? Okay, we will go ahead and start with public testimony. And as everybody heard, we're going to try to focus on the kind of narrow issue in front of the commission today, which is the GPA component of this. And we'll start with Eric Larson, Beth Edwards, and Andy Harris. Any order?
Yes, please. Chairman Beck, members of the commission, I'm Eric Larson, executive director of the San Diego County Farm Bureau. Thank you so much for framing this discussion to keep it very narrow in what it is. Just want to say we encourage you to approve this recommendation and keep in mind that this is in keeping with policy I-33 by the Board of Supervisors to encourage agricultural production in the county. And also keep in mind this is a strategy to give an opportunity for producing low water use crops in San Diego County. And I just like to remind you, this whole issue has gotten to be very, very difficult, but it's very, very simple in its genesis. We had some farmers who wanted to grow a crop, process that crop, and sell their product to the public. We need to keep in mind what this originally was all about and not get confused in meeting that goal. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to revise my list of speakers here. I realize that a number of these folks just want to register their position, so I'll go ahead and register their names into the record. Victor, these are folks who just want to register their position in favor. Victor Edwards, Don Korhorst, Joyce Korhorst, Richard McClellan, Andy Harris. Carolyn Harris is here for questions. And we'll go to Beth Edwards, and Eric has already spoken. So Beth Edwards.
I just confirmed what was stated earlier, so I don't.
Okay, thank you. And then we will now go to those in opposition. Don Koviak. No, I'm Kovasic, I'm sorry, and Carol Angus. I'll just keep these for a second.
I'm Don Kovasic, 16833 Quail Crossing, Ramona, California, commissioners, staff, council. This isn't about farming. This is about commercial development, commercial activity in over 400,000 acres in San Diego that were traditionally non-commercial. This is about avoiding the traditional administrative methodologies, the major use permit that are used for commercial activities in these type of areas. And the whole purpose of the general plan amendment and the tiered winery ordinance is not to focus on agricultural production, but to focus on commercial activity in areas that would require major use permits. So the problem is that we are totally overturning the focus, the policy, the procedures that have traditionally been used in these areas, and it's a bad idea. As far as the general plan amendment that we're addressing today, it doesn't comply with CEQA, and you either have to do a new EIR or substantially revise the existing EIR that was done focused only on the tiered winery amendment, and you have to recirculate it and allow for public comment before any action can be done. Second, the general plan amendment doesn't cure the errors in inconsistencies with the existing land use designations and zoning policies and rules, and therefore the general plan amendment as proposed doesn't cure the problem with the tiered winery ordinance amendment. And finally, the tiered winery ordinance amendment as supplemented by the general plan amendment is vague and inconsistent and incomprehensible, and the general plan amendment only makes the problems of the underlying ordinance amendment worse. So for those reasons, I request that you not approve this, that you send it back and follow the required procedure and substantive requirements of the law. Thank you.
Thank you. Carol?
Good morning, Mr. Commissioner, Commissioners. My name is Carol Angus. I live at 19210 Highland Hills Drive, Ramona, California. Again, we are here, and I feel that with my limited legal knowledge, et cetera, that this is in violation. It's in violation of what people like myself have done on the planning group. I was on the 2020 general plan update. The things that we have set up for our backcountry and to protect the environment, and these designations and the reason for the major use or minor use permits that gave that time. This, however, was not recirculated. I don't believe one planning group commented on it because they didn't get it and they don't know about it in time throughout the county. Therefore, I believe it is in violation of the process. And that's what I'm worried about, is the process. There are so many folks out there who have no idea. The planning groups don't even have any idea. And this is going to change things for our general plan for the 2020 update. And we've certainly hashed that out for a good number of years. So without that, this makes things worse, absolutely worse, by giving one small portion of the business community the opportunity to avoid everything and not have to follow any of the rules and regulations that have been set up. Therefore, I stand by the letter from Coast Law Group and also from Seltzer Kaplan, Mr. Scott Williams' letter, because that spells it out in terms that are legal that I myself don't have. But you know what? It's here. It's right here in the core of me when things aren't right and it hasn't followed the process. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope you deny this and send it back for more comment. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Would staff respond to the circulation of this particular phase of this, how broadly?
Yes, Commissioner Beck. The recirculation requirements essentially require, CEQA requires recirculation when there's any new significant information, which generally involves a new significant impact or a more severe significant impact. There have been no changes to the EIR based on this general plan amendment. There have been no changes to the impact analysis. And in fact, the project and the EIR all along have intended that the zoning ordinance affect all of the use designations within the A70 or A72 zones. So that analysis of impacts has already been done in the EIR, and it hasn't changed at all with this general plan amendment.
Any other comments from the commission? Commissioner Norby.
Just a few questions here. First of all, there was a 400,000 acre amount mentioned, 440,000 acre in the staff report. And the EIR was conducted on lot sizes down to 1 acre, and we then limited that to 4 acres. So it would be some number less than 440 acres with the elimination of the 1 and 2 acre sites. So if we lower the number, clearly we don't have to do an EIR additional for that. It's already been studied at a higher number. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Okay.
I mean, we've encompassed a larger area in the form.
Sure. And then the exemptions that we're carving out with this language, do we do that in any other allowed use or zoning? Or is this something unique just to the tiered winery ordinance?
I think there is actually, in that general plan language, there's another exemption for public road projects that's been added to the regional land use element.
Okay, and then my last question is, we don't currently have 440,000 acres under cultivation that would be turned into a boutique winery. The potential for 440 acres exists, or some number lower than that. So, you know, we may have a few thousand acres of land right now that this would be applicable to. So if we are, it's a true statement, I feel, that if this ordinance allows, just picking a number out right now and say that we have 4,000 or 5,000 acres under cultivation with wine grapes that would be applicable to have a boutique winery, if that number should double, 5,000 or 10,000 acres more, we are growing and increasing our ag in the county of San Diego. That seems to me to be a true statement. So, because the requirement is that you don't just get to do it without any crop. There are certain ratios of crop to everything that you have. So I'm very comfortable with this. Thank you for answering the questions.
I would like to make a connection to the concerns that I raised previously, since I suppose all of those, notwithstanding staff's direction here or request for direction on comments. But one of my big concerns, I think these legal issues about CEQA consistency are going to probably play out in the courts, and I'm not exactly sure where I come down on that, so I'm going to defer to county council's interpretation of this on this particular issue. But the issue that is keeping me from supporting this has to do with, really, it's a policy call that is now being translated into ordinance, and it has to do with the private road issues. As I understand it, staff can correct me if I'm wrong, as this ordinance will be applied to land that is accessed from a private road, any issues that result from the implementation of this ordinance on those private roads have to be dealt with by the people that live on those private roads, and that the county has no authority nor interest in reconciling any disputes that may arise. That's what I heard at the last hearing. Is that accurate?
That's an accurate statement.
Okay. And it just so happens I was thinking about it last night, and I realized I've actually lived on three private roads in my life for most of the time that I've lived in a house. I've always lived in a house, actually, despite the rumors. And the way private roads work is that if you've got 10 people on a road, you've got upkeep expenses and that sort of thing. And the idea is that those 10 homes all contribute 10% to the maintenance of the road, or whatever, gates and that sort of thing. And this particular, and it's pretty logical and simple, and it's something that usually is reconciled because people can understand that pretty clearly. In this particular situation, you've got that same dynamic, except now you've allowed by right the introduction of a commercial enterprise, which for sure is going to have an increase in ADTs. And I just can't imagine this not being an issue with every single situation where you have a house that is now becoming a commercial operation, and they're saying, well, there's no rule that says that I have to pay more or contribute more to the maintenance of this private road. So I think what we're doing with this, at least as the narrow issue relates to private roads, is that we have created a circumstance that is guaranteed to create conflict on public roads, and at the same time, on private roads, and at the same time, we've essentially washed our hands of any responsibility in reconciling that. I think there could and should be a provision in this that acknowledges that possibility. At an earlier version of this, there was a requirement that there would be some kind of agreement that would be signed with the property owners on that private road before things move forward. That's now been taken out,
And there could be and there should be some provision to address the increased impacts, the ADTs, that sort of thing, by formula or some other way, some other means. But I think that basically we're creating a problem here, and I don't think it's fair to the people who are going to be left with fighting these these pitched battles on impacts. So I just wanted to reiterate what I think is a flaw in this in terms of implementation. Okay, those are my comments. Any other comments?
Staff would like to respond to that.
Commissioner Beck, that was a discussion that we had a lengthy debate and discussion on at the last hearing. That is something that will be discussed in the staff presentation and a report when we go back to the board about what your concerns were regarding private roads and how we maintain those private roads if this ordinance gets approved. I just wanted to assure you that is something that will be discussed in our presentation and the staff report when we present it before the board.
Okay, but it's not in front of us, unfortunately. Okay, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, share your concern on those private roads, and we've kind of hammered this to death, so I'm happy to hear that. The only other suggestion I kind of thought about is maybe those wineries on private roads become appointment only or something. There may be some other middle ground on this, so this doesn't become the Achilles heel of this, what I think is a very fine concept. So I'm prepared to support this after comments.
Okay, Commissioner Reese.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I concur with your comments about the private road problems. I think that's a potential bottomless pit of battles with the neighbor. I live on one of those private roads. The house I bought, I got about $20,000 knocked off of because it was in litigation with the next door neighbor when I moved into the property because of the road. And then there was another end of the road that got litigation on it. And this is all in the subdivision was laid out in 1927. I think there were seven or eight lawsuits on that road since that time, and nobody tried a commercial operation. You're sticking a commercial operation in what is a residential area, and you're probably going to get some battles that we didn't need. The next one, I would disagree with the staff with respect to the waiver. I believe a better tactic from the standpoint of being in a litigation posture is if the board made a finding of statement of overriding considerations and said, based upon the benefits to the agricultural, all the other stuff, we find that these benefits outweigh any potential environmental impacts that might be minimal with respect to this crazy idea that's going to affect somebody adversely. You can put the facts together. I'm sure Mr. Witt does an excellent job of doing that for the county. And I think that would be a more defensible position, but obviously I'll defer in that one. But right now, as of my point of view, I would have to vote against this because of the waiving the CEQA issues. I don't think that's appropriate.
Commissioner Brooks?
I'm very uncomfortable in this particular instance that staff is taking it to the board with our concerns about the private road. There are many times that I think is both practical and appropriate that you do that. But in this case, I feel that I like to see some resolution in this that comes before us prior to going to the board. And I'm very concerned with the going to the board with just that we were concerned about that.
Through the chair, Commissioner Brooks, if you recall the last time we heard this, when the zoning ordinance was presented before you, this was a discussion point. It was discussed at length. The commission and made their concerns known, and the Planning Commission made a recommendation on that ordinance. So we are moving forward with going to the board with those recommendations. Again, the only purpose of this hearing is to listen to the general plan amendment and to make a recommendation on the GPA alone, not to reconsider or reevaluate the Planning Commission's previous recommendations on the zoning ordinance amendment. So it'd be our recommendation is that action be focused only on the GPA today and that we can move forward with our docketing this before the board.
Point well taken. Thank you, Mr.
and I concur that that's exactly how we got to where we are today. My intent in bringing my point up was that was the main reason that I was the no vote last time around. Okay. Any other discussion? Commissioner Norby?
Yeah, just to, we have one of our commissioners has said that perhaps a better way to craft this would be through a statement of overriding concerns as opposed to an exemption. I'd like county council or staff to address that
And we will be preparing a statement of overriding considerations for the entire project. The zoning ordinance and GPA will all be together, will all be covered by the EIR, and will all be covered by the statement of overriding considerations being prepared for this.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion? If not, please vote.
We have, there's no motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I will, however, make a motion to support staff's recommendation on item number one, including the errata sheet.
Second.
Somehow I anticipated that. Okay, now, please vote. That motion does not pass. Reese and Beck opposed. Norby, Brooks, and Pallager support. Woods and Day are absent. Okay, this still goes to the board with that vote.
If I recall, County Council, if there's a failure of the commission to pass a motion, then the recommendation will be a recommendation of denial for the general plan amendment.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. That takes care of that item, everybody. We're done on that, and I believe that's the end of the agenda items in front of the commission today.
Mr. Chairman, I see that there's a Board of Supervisors meeting on July 12th or 14th.
There's actually one on June 30th, and that one is the only thing on that agenda is the second reading of the medicinal marijuana ordinance. So I'm not anticipating that a representative from the Planning Commission is going to need necessary to go to that hearing. There is one on July 14th. However, your commission will have a hearing before then, so you can assign a representative at that time.
Okay. Is there any other business we need to take care of?
Not from here.
Okay, Planning Commission's adjourned.